Today's shir is Masecht Kedushin Daf Ayin Gimel. We will begin on Daf Ayin Beis, Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Tan Rabbanan, Ger Nois Mamzeres. The halacha is, says the Gemara, that a ger is allowed to marry in Mamzeres. Divrei Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi's opinion is that a ger can marry a Mamzeres. And we're going to learn that how long is the halacha, for how generations can a ger marry Mamzeres? The Gemara is going to teach us that it goes up to 10 generations. Till 10 generations, we are aware that the ger is a mamz. We know that this family is a family of gerim. Afterwards, the family no longer has the identification as a ger, and therefore that family may no longer marry Mamzerim. And as we're going to be learning in our shurim, the basis of this machlokes is a kal gerim ikri kal or not. The halacha is the Torah says layova mamzer bekal Hashem, and the discussion here is, are kahal gerim considered a kahal that may not, and therefore they may not marry mamzerim or not? Ger layis mamzeris echa ger ve'echav mecha meshuchar. This halacha says both by ger, both by ever meshuchar, v'cholol, all of them, he says, mutarim b'kahanis, all of them may marry a kahanim. So the Beis Shmuel says that even though we're saying that certain people may marry gerim, but the Beis Shmuel adds a new dimension to this discussion. And the Beis Shmuel says that in a situation where there's a concern, we also don't want to have mamzerim in Klal Yisrael. And therefore, we need to prevent marriages that will increase mamzerim in Klal Yisrael, which really is based on something that the Minchas Chinuch discusses, and that is a mamzer chayiv in pruervu. And the Minchas Chinuch quotes a prima godim that says that mamzerim are also obligated in the mitzvah of pruervu, and therefore we allow them to get married, even though by getting married there will be mamzerim in Klal Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, my tama the Reb Yossi, why does Reb Yossi allow a ger to marry a mamzer? Says the Gemara, the chamisha kol iksiv. The pasuk says the word kol five times. The pasuk says lo yava mamzer b'kal Hashem. Gam dar asir lo yava lo b'kal Hashem. Lo yava amoni yume avi b'kal Hashem. Gam dar asir lo yava lo b'kal Hashem. Banam ashivod lohem dar shlish yava lo b'kal Hashem. So the Torah says the word kahal when it speaks about marriage or getting married or not allowed to get married, and the Torah says it five times. What is the Torah? The question is obvious. Why does the Torah need to say it five times? Wouldn't it be satisfactory to say it once? Says the Gemara, Chad Kahanim. If we only would say the word Kahal once, we would think that it's only Kohanim who may not marry Mamzerim. So that's why it says it wants to say Kohanim may not marry. Chad Lelevium. One is to teach us that Levium may not marry Mamzerim. Chad Yisraelim. One is to tell us that a regular Yisrael may not either. Chad Lemisri Mamzi Bishtuki. As we learned and will be learning, a Shtuki is an individual who can't identify who his father is. So we learn that only somebody who's Yichus we know is not allowed to marry a Mamzer. A Shtuki, given that he's an individual we don't know his status, may marry a Mamzer. Chad Lemisri Shtuki B'Yisrael. So there's a very interesting pasuk teaching us that on one hand, a Shtuki can marry a Mamzer, but on the other hand, a Shtuki could also at the same time marry a Yisrael. We don't immediately identify the Shtuki as a person that is possible and can't marry Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda says the Gemara, but the bottom line is that Gerim are not mentioned, and therefore he says, Kal Gerim lo yikri kol, and a mamzer can marry a ger. Rabbi Huda, who, as we began today's shir, teaches us that a ger may not marry a mamzeris. How does he come to that? He says, Kahanim Levim, the Kahanim Levim are both learned from one chat kol nafki, are both learned from the Torah saying the word kol once. So now we have an extra word kahol mentioned to teach us, isolei l'kal gerim, to teach us that a mamzer may not marry into kal gerim, kahal gerim ikri kol. V'bay seima, says the Gemara, hani nami, indeed, Rabbi Huda will agree, says the Gemara, that kahani and levium trei kol inenu, but he says, mamzer v'shtuki, dalocha, that a mamzer can marry shtuki, and dalocha that a shtuki can marry Yisrael, all can be learned from the Torah using the word kahal once. Layava mamzer b'kal Hashem. From here we learn mamzer vaday hu de layava. There's a new halacha that a mamzer who we know with certainty is a mamzer we may not marry. A mamzer sofik we may marry into Klal Yisrael. Mamzer sofik yavai. B'kal vaday hu de layava. A mamzer is not allowed to marry somebody whose yichus is impeccable, habakal safik, but somebody whose yichus is questionable, the halacha is he may not marry. This Gemara is the basis for a very famous machloikus rishonim. We know that the halacha is that safik deraisa, when there's a safik regarding an issue which is a halacha mideraisa, the halacha teaches us Suffolk the Reis l'churma, we should be machmer. And the machloikus between the Rambam and the Rashba is that this halacha of Suffolk the Reis l'churma, is that a din midaraisa? Is that a din that the Torah taught us that by Suffolk the Reis we should be machmer? Or is the din of Suffolk the Reis l'churma only a din the Rabbanan? The Rambam's opinion is that Suffolk the Reis l'churma is a din the Rabbanan. The Rashba's opinion is that Sofik Daraisa is a din midaraisa. So some suggest that the Rambam's opinion is based on our Gemara. Because our Gemara just said that Mamzer Vadai hu deloyavai, that a Mamzer, only somebody who's certainly a Mamzer, cannot marry into Klal Yisrael. By a Sofik Mamzer, which obviously is a situation of a Sofik Daraisa, Yavai. So we see that we could be lenient by a Sofik Daraisa. Others say just the opposite, that this Gemara is a proof to the Rashba's opinion. Because the fact that the Pasuk needs to tell us that we could be lenient by a Sofik Mamzer, the fact that we can say that we could be lenient by a Sofik Mamzer means to tell us that under normal circumstances, by a Sofik, we have to be Machmer. This is an exception to the rule where here we could be lenient by a Sofik Mamzer. The Rambam, and therefore the way many explain this machloikus, is how do we understand this pasuk? Is this pasuk to be understood as a gzeiros hakosef, a special rule that was stated by Mamzerim? That's the Maritz says, and that's obviously going to be the opinion of the Rashba, or as the Pnei Yeshua wants to say, this pasuk serves as a source for kol ha-Torah kula that we could be lenient midaraisa, we're lenient by a suffix. V'ibayisema hani nami trei kol inenu, that we need two separate pesukim to allow a mamza to marry shtuki and to allow shtuki to marry Yisrael. But tamid Rabbi Yehuda, what is Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning that he considers a kol gerim as a kol? And since he considers a kol gerim as a kol, that's why a mamzer can't marry a ger? Says the Gemara Mehocha. Because the pasuk says, hakol ha-chuka achas lachem v'lager agar. So we see that the gerim are included in the hakol. And Rabbi Yossi holds that if the pasuk would have had the word hakol right next to the word ger, it would be a very strong proof to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But what Rabbi Yossi says is that the pasuk separates the word hakol from ger with the word chuka achas. Chuka achas hifsek inyan. So it's not one continuation. And since it's not one continuous pasuk, we can't learn that one from the other. So we learned in the Braisa, Echad Ge'er ve'Echad Ever Meshuchar ve'Cholol b'Tarim b'Kahanis. They all may marry Kahanis. Says the Gemara Masai Leiler of Rav. This Braisa supports what Rav taught us. Damar of Yehuda Marav le'Hozruk Sheris le'Nasul Psulim. That there's no Isser for a Kahanis who's from a Yichus of a Kahanis to marry a person who's Pasul. Somebody to marry somebody that a Kohen may not marry. Of course, they may not marry someone that a kosher Yisrael is not allowed to marry. They certainly can marry. Here we're talking about people that Kohanim may not marry. The halacha is it's only limited to Kohanim, not to Kohanis. And the reason is because the pasuk says, Emer al b'nei Aharon v'loi b'nois Aharon. That these rules were set only to Kohanim and not to Kohanois. Darsh Reb Zeira v'Mechuza. So Reb Zeira got up in Mechuza, a place where there were many gerim living there, and he said, Ger mutar b'mamzeris. A ger may marry mamzeris, because he said that the halacha obviously is the kal gerim is like a kol. Says the Gemara, Rama kula am besugayu. So everybody took their esrogim and threw it at them, because he was saying, he was disparaging the yichas of gerim. Amar Rava, so Rava said to him, Meika the darsh milsaka hai, beduchta de shchicha giyurei. I don't understand. When you say a drasha, when you say a speech, you have to think about your audience. So knowing that your audience is comprised of so many people who are gerim, it doesn't make sense that you should have said this drasha. And I saw that the Cheshuki Chemed says that the Gemara Masechta Pesachim Daf Mem Tes Omebeis teaches us Lo Yisa Bas Ami Oretz, that it's inappropriate that somebody should marry the daughter of Am Oretz. And the question that he discusses is that also, if you have a community of people who are not Tamid Chachamim, that is it appropriate to speak and tell them, be careful, Layisa Bas Amaretz, so since they're all Bas Amaretz, is not something to say. On one hand, he says that Al Gemara says that you should be careful when you give a drasha, when you give a speech, to say something that's appropriate to the audience that he's speaking to. But then he suggests that it may not be the same. Why may it not necessarily be the same? He says that in the case of an Amoritz, in the case of a Ger, a Mamzeres, these are disqualifications that you can't do anything about. And since they're disqualifications that you can't do anything about, so just saying this kind of statement about such individuals is inappropriate. But when you say, don't marry the daughter of Amoritz, what are you really saying? What you're really saying is that you are encouraging people to be Talmid Chachamim. The Amoritz doesn't have to remain a Talmid Chacham, Amoritz. The Amoritz has the ability to turn himself around and become a Talmud Chacham. And therefore, maybe that should be said, that will be the way to encourage them to become Talmid Chachamim. Darash Rav Mechuza. Rava gave a drasha in Mechuza, and he said, Ger mutar b'kahanis, that a kahanis could be married to a ger. Ta'ana b'shroi. So since this was a place, like we just said, of gerim, they all were very appreciative of what he said, and they wrapped him in silk clothing. Hada darash lahu, and then he said, Ger mutar b'mzeris. So, Amalei afsidil kamaisa, with your second speech, you've taken away the first speech, Amlu, the Tavlucha Avdelechu. So Rava said, I really did a tremendous favor to you. Because Ibai Machinasev, I've opened up to you many possibilities of whom you can marry. If you want, you can marry this, Kohanis, you can marry Mamzeris. And giving you so much availability to whom you can marry is something that you should very much appreciate. V'ilchasa, says the Gemara, what is the halacha? Gem mut b'kahenis, mut b'mamzeris. Mut b'kahenis, why make a henis, not a kohen? We're going to speak about a kohen marrying a ger. Now we're speaking about a kahenis. A kahenis may marry a ger because, as we said a few moments ago, shloi huzruk seris le'nos l'psulim, there is no issue with somebody of a kahenis marrying somebody who is posel to the kahuna. As I said before, a kahenis can't marry someone that the Israelis can't marry. We're talking about the special rules that apply to kahanim, male kahanim, only apply to kahanim, not to kahenis. A mutam mamzeris, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that we started the shir, that kahal gerim goy ikri kol. So we learned in the Mishnah, Elan Shtuki, who is a Shtuki? Kol Shemakis Imai, he knows who his mother is, Venamakis Aviv, but he doesn't know who his father is. Amarava, Dvatar Shtuki Kosher. Midaraisa, a Shtuki should be allowed to marry anyone. My Tama, Roiv Ksher Metzla. Most people, we're speaking here about a woman who's single. So most people are, this girl is allowed to marry. So even, and as we go a step further, a halacha that we've learned many times, that Oiv Kachavim ve'Eved Abar Bas Yisrael, a non-Jewish person or Eved that have relation with a Jewish woman, have lat kosher, the child is fine. So if she had relations with a non-Jew, or most Jews, there is no problem. There's only a mi'at pasulin etzla. There's only an insignificant amount of people who are would disqualify the child or would make the child born to her and to a mamzer. So now, e ozli in hu legaba, if the man went to have relations with the woman, so we have a rule called the parish, meruba parish, that when something falls away, that when somebody leaves his place, we follow the roiv. Most people, as we just said, are fine. So we are able to put here the concept of called the parish me'er parish. What is the concern? Dilma oz ihi l'gabayu. She went to him. And since she went to him, so that individual becomes a kavua. And the aloch is kavua, the aloch throughout Shas is that kol kavua kemechza mechza dami. So Rabbi Chanan gives a number of reasons why is the halacha, if we always follow Roiv, why is Kol Kavua different? So one explanation he says is when something is Kavua, it's separated from the Roiv. It's standing by itself. So we can't apply the halacha of Roiv. Another explanation that's given is that the Kavua represents something that's choshev, something that's significant. And something that's significant doesn't become bottled. So we have a kavua. So we say a kol kavua, and the aruch is, when we ever have a situation kavua, we have to view it k'mechza mechza dami, v'tara amra. So even if it's mechza mechza, it's no worse than a suffix. And as we've learned previously in our shir, a tara amra lo yava mamza b'kal Hashem. From here we learn, mamza vadei hu de lo yava, a mamza suffix yavai. B'kal vadei hu de lo yava, a b'kal suffix yavai. So if the mamzer is a suffix mamzer, or if the person that the mamzer is going to marry is a person of questionable yichus, meaning the shtuki, umatam amri shtuki pasul, so ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that we could have so much reason to be lenient with a shtuki, why do we not allow a shtuki to marry midrabanan Yisraelim ksherim? Because since we don't know who his parents are, we don't know who his father is, we have to be concerned that the woman he's marrying, Shemi Yisai, Chos Me'aviv, that maybe the woman he's marrying is his paternal sister. Says the Gemara, Lama'ata, if that's the case, Shtuki Shtukis Lo Yisa, a Shtuki is not allowed to marry Yisraelis. But if the Shtuki is allowed to marry a Shtukis, but we should still have the same consideration that maybe the Shtukis was born to the same father as he was born. Shem, why should we not be concerned? Asked the Gemara. Shema Yisa Chosim Aviv. Says the Gemara, Kol have the Mazna Vazli? Do we have to assume that every Shtuki and Shtukis was born to the same man? Says the Gemara, if we're going to, we're not concerned, so then the halacha is Bashtukis Layisa, we should not allow a Bashtuki, Bashtukis to marry Shtuki Shem Yisa Chosim Aviv. Why don't we say that? Because of the so ask the Gemara, because it's uncommon. And when it's a situation that's uncommon, like Gozba Rabbanan. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, why are we being machme here and not allowing the Shtuki to marry regular Yisrael? So the Gemara, it's Mala Asa B'yuchsin. The Pasuk says that Eliezer, when he went to look for a wife for Yitzchak, the Pasuk says that he says, Hini anoichi nitzav ha'ayin ha'mayim, I'm standing here by the river, ubenois anshe'ir yoitzis lishav mayim. And the girls from the city come to collect water. Why was this whole introduction necessary for Eliezer to say and for the Torah report? So says the Arvi Nachal, Eliezer was concerned that even though Avraham Avinu had sent him to find a Canaanis for Yitzchak, maybe she was an individual that Yitzchak wasn't allowed to marry. So what did he do? He says, what did he say and do? I'm standing here, and the girls from the city are coming to me. So this will be a situation of Kol the Parush, Meruba Parush. And therefore, since, as the Gemara just finished explaining, most people aren't disqualified, we have no reason to be concerned. Says, the Gemara said that when Reb Zairus said that a ger can marry a mamzeris, and he made the speech in a place where gerim were prevalent, they all threw esroigim at him. Why did they throw specifically esroigim at him? So the Sefer Drash V'Iyun from Aaron Levine's Zitzal says that the Medrash says, priates hodor zavrom, that the esrig is represented by Avraham Avinu. So he said that, and we know that what did Avraham Avinu do? Avraham Avinu was the one that was Avraham Megair Anoshim, Sar Megair Anoshim. Avraham Avinu represents the individual who brought Gerim into Klal Yisrael. So here, Reb Zeira was disparaging Gerim, that Gerim are allowed to marry Mamzerim. So they threw their esroigim at him. The esroigim, they said, represent Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu taught us that we're supposed to show tremendous respect to Gerim and bring Gerim into Klal Yisrael. Why are you saying that Gerim are second class? Says the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah about an individual who's in a Sufi. The individual who's in a Sufi is a person that was found, and we don't know neither who his father or his mother is. And he obviously carries this disqualification. Vamar of the Vatayra Sufi Kosher. Midar Isa, even though we don't know who his parents are, he's Kosher. My Tama, what's the reason we don't have to be concerned that he's a Mamzer? Because Esha Sishba Bala Taila, even if a woman had an adulterous relationship and the child that she's having is a mamzer, she tells everybody she got pregnant from her husband. My ikka, what? So who is this? So even if this child was born from an Eishes Ish, we could assume that the Eishes Ish that he was born from got pregnant from her husband. So what is the issue? Miet arusas, an arusa doesn't have relations with her husband. Or the women whose husbands went overseas and they had this relationship with other people. But, says the Gemara, there's a real possibility that this child that was found in the street was born to a single woman. A single woman who has a child, the child is certainly not a mamzer. Or there's a child that was born to parents, but there's a time of a hunger and the parents can't afford to support the child. That's why they leave the child in the street. So at worst, have a palga-palga. It's 50-50. What is the status of this child? From here we learn, as we've been learning, only when it's a mamzavadai do we not allow him to come into Klal Yisrael. If he's a mamzasofik yavai, Bekal vadei hu de lo yavai, we only don't allow him to come into kal vadei, ha bekal sofik yavai. Ma tam, so given all of this background, ma tam amra sufi posel, why we strict with their sufi? Says the Gemara, as we learned before, because we need to be concerned, since we don't know who his parents are, shema yisa achoysay me aviv. Says the Gemara, elam ato, a sufi, a sufis, la yisa. We should not allow an Asufi and a Sufis to get married to each other. The halacha does allow them to get married, because why should we not be concerned that Shemi Yisa Achoysa Beima Ove Bemima? And here the concern, the Gemara says, is even more significant than it was in the previous Gemara. In the previous Gemara, we knew who his mother was. We just didn't know who the father is. In this Gemara, we don't know neither who the mother or the father are, so the chances increase that the woman he's marrying may be either his maternal sister or maybe his paternal sister. So why should we not be concerned? Says the Gemara, Kol Hani Shadi Vazli, do we have to be concerned that every shtuki in the world is this woman and this man's child? So ask the Gemara, Das a Sufi la Yisa, an Asufi should not be allowed to marry the daughter of an Asufi, Shema Yisa Achaisa. What's the answer? Elai Shchich. It's uncommon that, statistically, it's highly unlikely. And Nusla Shchicha, the Gaz Rabbanan. Hachanami, so says the Gemara, so always we should be lenient and allow an Asufi to marry a regular Jewish woman. Says the Gemara, the reason we don't is Mala Asubi Yotzin. Says the Gemara, So the Gemara continues discussing Asufis. And says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Rav Huna Matzah Mol, if we found this child had a bris milah, so that is an indication that he was born to regular parents and that they unfortunately made him an Asufi, because we see that his parents cared for him and the halacha is that he's considered a Yisrael. And that flaw says that even if the city is a city of mostly of non-Jews, we could still be lenient. But the Meiri points out that it has to be that we see that it wasn't a child that was born with a bris milah, it was a child that actually had a bris milah, and that's a proof that the child is a Jewish child. Said I saw the Cheshuki Chemed asks a very interesting question. He says, what is the halacha if we find an Asufi? The Gemara here is telling us that an Asufi that had a bris milah doesn't have to be treated as an Asufi. He can be treated, be considered as a Jewish child. So the question that the Cheshuki Chemed asks, apparently this issue comes up in Israel, is that this Asufi that we found looks like a non-Jew. In Israel, there are Filipinos. And this child has the structure, his face looks like a Filipino. So that clearly is an indication for concern. What should we do? So he says that what should be done under such circumstances is that we should make another bris milah for this child. And the Gemara Masechta Ksubos discusses ger katan. The sugya of a ger katan means that a child that was born as a non-Jew, but he's living with Jews, and we megayir him, the halacha is ger katan matbilan oisei adas bezdin. Bezdin does a gerus on this child, and then when the child becomes an adult, he has to affirm and confirm that he's interested in being a ger. And he says that here, because we have this reason to be concerned about this child, we should do a geris. He says we should do hatofis dambris, and we should when he becomes a bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, bar mitzvah, it's a boy, with a mila, we should ask him to be, if he can, to confirm his being part of the Jewish people. And here, it's really, there's a new complication. Because if we do a geiris on a child in such a fashion, as we just said, when that child becomes an adult, he confirms that he's interested in being a ger. And if he's not interested in being a ger, then the halacha will be that he won't, that he will not be a ger. He doesn't have to be a ger if he doesn't want to be. Here, it's much more complicated. Here, we actually have to encourage him to be a ger, because he may be a full-fledged Jew. So a regular ger, if he chooses not to be a ger, so be it. Here, we may not, it may be much more of a complicated issue. Says the Gemara, Mishalte Hedmayo, if we find this a Sufi in the street, who obviously was properly taken care of, his bones were put into place, he looks like he was cared for. Again, Einbei Mishum a Sufi, we need not be concerned that he's in a Sufi. We assume that the parents couldn't care for him, and that's why he was left this way. Shaif Mishcha, if they smeared him with olive oil, or Mala Kuchla, they used to put ointment around the eye. Rami Chumra, they used to put on different medicines. Tali Piska, if there's a Kameya that's put around him, they used to put a Kameya on the neck of a child. Others say they used to put like a necklace around their children. All of this Tali Kameya is wearing a Kameya. All of these are indications that he's born and fine, and anybody Mishum a Sufi does not consider he's in a Sufi. Tali Bedikla, if he was hanging from a tree, Imat Lechaya, if he was hanging in a place where animals could easily reach, so then the halacha is, Yesh Be Mishum a Sufi, we have to be concerned he's in a Sufi. The fact that his parents left him in a place where he could easily be harmed is a bad sign. Vimlav, but if it's not in a place where he could easily be harmed, Ein Bei Mishum a Sufi. Zardasa, if he was left on a tree, an Zordan tree, Imus, if it's Smich Lamasa, if it's near the city, Yesh Bei Mishum a Sufi, we need to be concerned he's in a Sufi. Because that's a place, the Mefarshim explain, where Shadim frequented. So if he was left in a place where Shadim could attack him, that's a sign that the parents didn't knew that there's a problem with this child. Mlav, otherwise, anybody Mishum a Sufi, there is no concern of an Asufi. Beik Nishta Smich Lamasa, if he's found in a shul near the city, the Shchicha Bei Rabim, and there are many people that frequent that shul, anybody Mishum a Sufi. Because the parents obviously left them there for where they knew he'll be found by Jews in the Beis HaKnesses who will take care of him. Vimlav, but if it's left in a place that's deserted, so that, and as I said a moment ago, they lived in a world that they were particularly concerned about Shadim, then Yesh Bei Mishum a Sufi, we need to be concerned that he's in a Sufi. Amar, a Maimer, Hai Peira de Sufli, if he was left in a place where they used to throw pits, and the animals would come and eat those pits, so certainly, Yesh Bei Mishum a Sufi, they obviously wanted to see this child be eliminated. Charifsa de Nara, if he was found in a boat in the middle of the river, Ein Bei Mishum a Sufi, because there are many boats there, and the assumption is that he'll be picked up. Bepishri, but if he was left in the place where there are no boats, then in the river, Yesh Bei Mishum a Sufi, he was left to die. But see the Rishus Rabim, if he was left on the side of Rishus Rabim, which is a more secure area, Ein Bei Mishum a Sufi, we need not be concerned he's in a Sufi. But if he was left in the Rishus Rabim, then we have to be concerned that's a dangerous place. Yeah, the cars, the wagons traveling there, we need to be concerned Yesh Bei Mishum a Sufi. Amar Rava Ubishnei Ra'avin, says the Gemara, in the hunger year, Ein Bei Mishum a Sufi, we need to assume that the reason that the parents left him that way is because they just could not afford to take care of him. Says the Gemara, Hadarava, says, well, this statement that Rava said regarding what case was he speaking about? Ilam, ahai, Ilam Rishos Rabim, says the Gemara, that he was left in Rishos Rabim, which we just finished explaining, that Rishos HaRabim is a dangerous place. So says the Gemara, I did the Shnei Ravin, just because it's a hunger year, they leave him Katlele, they're going to leave him in such a dangerous place. Ela, Tzidir Rishos Rabim. We're going to say that he wasn't found in the Rishos Rabim. But if he was left in the Tzidir Rishos Rabim, which as we described, the Tzidir Rishos Rabim is more of a secure area, my area is Shnei Ravin. So why is it only that we're going to be lenient in a Shnei Ravin? I feel below Shnei Ravin. The fact that they were left, that they left their child in this secure place, is a proof that he's fine. As says the Gemara, Kitman the Rav Aha, Damar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Zav, the Amar Rav, Kozman Shvishuk. As long as the child is still in the street of Ve'imay Namanim, the parents are still believed to say that this is their child. In other words, they're regretting and they want to take their child back. Nesef Minashuk, but once he was taken in by somebody, Einamonim, says the Gemara, my Tama, why is there such a distinction? Amarava, the Chum were Machmer in a case, Hoyav Yotzel of Shem Asufi. Once this child was identified as an Asufi, once this child was identified as an Asufi, then the halacha is that we can't undo that identification. To which Rava comments, Amar Rava, or B'Shnei Ravin, but if it's a hunger year, Abdi Shanesav Menashuk, even though he was already taken in, the halacha will be, Aviv V'ima in the Manam Alav, they could come and say that we did this because we were desperate, and therefore we could trust them. So the Rashba, quoting the Yerushalmi, the Gemara here, when it's not Shnei Ravin, says that once he was identified as a Sufi, he was taken in by someone, and he gets the identification as a Sufi, we can no longer trust the parents. Trust the parent that says, well, we're the one that left them. So the Rashba says that the Yerushalmi says, what the Gemara means to say here is that one parent is always believed. But that's only until he was identified as a Sufi. Once he was identified as a Sufi, one parent is not believed. But, says the Yerushalmi, even after he was identified as a Sufi, if both parents, the father and mother, come and say, this is our child, they would be believed. The Aruch HaShulchan says the fact that our Gemara does not say this is an indication that the Bavli does not agree with the Yerushalmi, and that the Bavli's opinion is that under all circumstances, if it's not a hunger time, once he's identified as an Asufi, he becomes an Asufi forever. Amar says the Shloisha Namonim La'altar. There are three people who are believed immediately and not later. Velein, Asufi, an Asufi Chaya, a midwife, or Peteres Chavriseha. And the Gemara is going to explain each one. Asufi Hadamorin, as we just explained, that the parents are believed as long as he wasn't picked up from the street. But if he was ready picked up on the street, then the halacha is he's not believed. Next is a chaya, a midwife. The Tanya Chaya Namenes Leimer. A midwife is believed to say, Zeyot Zerishin. There were two children born, twins were born. We don't know which one was first, which one was second. The midwife is believed to say which one was first, the Zayat Sheni, and which one was born second. Says the Gemara, the Medvar Mamurim, when does the midwife have this namanas? Shloyotza v'chazra, that she did not leave the room where the baby was born. Ava yotza v'chazra, if she leaves that room, ain't in a menace. Rebbe Lezo Eimer, tchuch sukal amda, that even she has to be standing at the place where the baby was born, Namenis. Then and only then will she be believed. Vimlav, but if she doesn't remain standing on that spot, Eina Namenis. Says the Ritva. Here we have my Benayu, Ikvenai the Hadra Ap if she turned her face. Says the Ritva that this halacha that Rabbi Lezer is being so strict is only regarding this halacha. And the other places where we're going to give a person namonis, but the namonis will be limited to what happens immediately, says the Ritva, it doesn't have to be that immediate. We learned the third case with somebody's belief, a teres chever esaho. Ask the Gemara, Mahi, what does this refer to? Says the Gemara, the Tanan, the Mishnah, Masechet Anita, Daf Samach Mabeis teaches us. Sholosh noshim shayushenes v'mita achas. Three women were sleeping on the same bed. V'nimtzas dam tachas achas mehen, and blood is found by one of them. We don't know who's the one that expelled this blood that now is Anita. So the halacha is kulam tameis. We have to be concerned for each one of them that they're Anita. But if one of them inspected herself and saw that she is a nida, he tameya, we could identify that she's the nida, the kulan tahiris. To which Rav Chisda comments, when will the halacha be this way? Om Rav Chisda, Shabbat ka atzma kishivesed, that she only that she only was able to check herself immediately. That and then she immediately found that she's Tameh. So then we attribute this to her. But if it wasn't done immediate, then we have no way of knowing that it was her. Tan Rabbanan. We have a situation where there were four women that had babies in one house. A wife of a Kohen, a wife of a Levi, a wife of a Nosson, and a wife of a Mamzer. And we don't know which child is which. Says the Gemara, Nemenes Chai Loimer. The midwife is believed to say Zeh Kohen, Zeh Levi, Zeh Nosson, Zeh Mamzer. She's able to say this namonis. And the way the Beis Shmuel explains this Gemara, it's a special rule midrabbanan, because really women are not kosher to be edim, but because of the professionalism of a midwife, we trust her. But medvar memurim. Says the Gemara, when can we trust her? Shloi karla shem irur. When there's nobody questioning the reliability and the honesty of this midwife. Of karla irur, if there's somebody claiming that this woman is not a reliable woman or questioning what she's saying, and in a menace. Says the Gemara, what does that mean, the irur, that somebody's making an issue? Irur demai. That one person is saying something. Ask the Gemara, Vam Rabbi Yochanan, hasn't Rabbi Yochanan always taught us ein irapach mishnayim, that if less than two people make an issue, the halacha ignores what they said. It must be eritrei, that the issue is being made by two people. When two people raise an issue, then we have to be concerned. Vibay sem lo'elam mayim melach irachad. So somebody has a cheskes kashrus, the error of one individual can't break it. Here we never identify, we're able to establish cheskes kashrus, one person can make an error. So the Ran makes a very important point. Here we began the Gemara that we could trust the Chaya. That's how we began this piece of Gemara. So says the Ran, isn't there a halacha throughout Shas that whenever we could trust an Eid Echad, whenever we could trust a single witness, it's considered like we have two witnesses. So if that's the case, asks the Ran, why over here are we being strict? Once the Gemara established that we could trust the Chaya, we could trust the midwife, that should be all that the halacha requires. Why should we allow the error of one person, albeit there is no cheskes kashrus, but why should we allow the error of one person to disrupt what's happening here? So the Ran, and I sort of Beis Shmuel follows the same approach, explain. Yes, when the Torah identifies that we have a situation that we could trust an Eid Echad, so the halacha is that Eid Echad is equivalent to two Eidim. But that's only in a case where the Torah specifies, or Chazal specify, that even though it's only an Eid Echad, this Eid Echad has the namonis, has the same status as two Eidim. When we trust a chaya, when we trust a midwife, it's not because the Chazal said that the midwife is equivalent to two Edom. Chazal never said that a midwife is equivalent to two Edom. Chazal said because of the circumstances and because of the professionalism of this chaya, we're going to trust her. But it's not that we gave her the equivalency of an Eid Echad, and of Shtei Edom. And therefore, since we never gave her the equivalency of Shtei Edom, the halacha will be that Ir Dechad, given that there was no Cheskes Kashrus established, will be able to question what she's saying if it's truly to be accepted.